It's Atheneum Jams. A couple weeks ago, we had the President of the United States on Radio, Big Rob.
Yes, sir.
And today
we got the Congresswoman, Hillary Scroton, on the phone line.
Hello.
How you doing there?
Just a little bit of a downgrade.
No. You got juice.
Congresswoman, me and PA was having a debate. How do you say your last name properly?
Oh, is this going to be divisive?
No, it's not.
We're going to fight after this.
Yeah, we both conservatives, so don't worry about it.
Scolton, with a hard C.
With a hard C, Rob. I told you that.
Think about, like, school.
Yeah. And you were a school teacher, right? You were a school teacher.
My mom was. Mom was a school teacher. Wow. Yes, I'm an attorney.
Okay. So how has your first year and a half been so far?
You know, I've just completed my first year in office, and while there certainly is a lot of chaos, like you hear about on the news, right? It took us 16 votes to get a Speaker of the House. We've already had two different Speakers of the House. What you don't see is that there actually are a lot of people here who come together every day to do the work of the American people. And, you know, because that is sort of the boring, non-controversial work, it often doesn't make headlines. You know, it's not sensational, but the reality is it's the work that keeps this country going. So, you know, I enjoy that kind of work. And I think most people, they don't want political theater. They want a representative. They want a Congress that's just going to get things done for them. And that's what I try to do every single day. I have a little bit of a joke that I talk about how I'm bringing boring back to Congress. You know that Justin Timberlake song?
Yeah.
something else back? I think I'm bringing boring back to Congress.
We need that, Dan. We need that. It's too much excitement going on over there.
Yes, exactly. You know, we had George Santos expelled. We've had two speakers. He's on the floor at the State of the Union. I looked up. I'm ready to hear our president. I look up. There's George Santos in a dog collar, and I just thought, is this a fever dream? Or we don't know where we are.
So as a congresswoman, you don't agree with all the antics and stuff that's going on. Hey, let's take care of business and do what we got to do. All the antics can stay at home or outside the door.
We're on the phone line. Hillary Scroton's on the phone line with us. We're talking politics, and I hope you can still hear us very well. There,
you're breaking up a little bit. Right. Is that just on my end? Or?
Yeah. But you're good. But you helped secure $11.5 million for West Michigan, including a few projects in Muskegon. Can you talk about those projects and how you was able to pull it off?
I sure can. I'm so happy about what we were able to do for West Michigan. So every year, the Congress, of course, you know, sets a budget of how much we are going to spend across the country. And a part of that is something called community project funds, where we identify certain specific projects and we just carve out line item budgets for our community. These were known for a long time as earmarks, and they got a really bad reputation because a lot of members of Congress used them for their own good or to sell them, you know, to their buddies for personal projects. But the intent behind them is really for members of Congress who are most familiar with their district to be able to directly get that money back to the community. And so I'm really proud of not only the money that we were able to get, but the way that we were able to do it. Because of this historic process of using this money in unfair ways, I set out to really make our process open and fair and really transparent. So we had a town hall to kick off the process. We explained to everyone, you know, how we were going to be looking at these projects. We opened it up online. We did a lot of advertising throughout the community. And we had, you know, just dozens of projects that were submitted. And then the hard part was narrowing it down. We are only allowed to submit 15 different projects.
Oh, wow.
And I had a really, really hard time because we had some fantastic projects come forward. And, you know, I am really proud, though, that I was judicious in finding projects that I knew would have a hard time getting funding through other grant projects and that would do the most good in our community. And I'm really proud of the fact that every single project that I submitted got at least partial and many of them full funding.
That's
and that's actually pretty rare, where, you know, most members won't get all of their projects funded. It's kind of rare for a freshman to be able to do it. So, you know, I just brought that Michigan grit.
Yeah.
I was relentless in reaching out to, you know, the appropriators and saying we have to get these projects in. And so two of the projects that I'm really proud of, one is for Muskegon Public Safety. It's for modular vehicle barrier systems to use, you know, not to put a dark turn here, but, you know, we've seen an increasing amount of cars crashing into festivals. And Muskegon has some pretty great public festivals. Well, the Muskegon Public Safety didn't have large, you know, enough barriers to really put up at these festivals to keep festival goers safe from this type of incident. So we were able to get, you know, close to $500,000 in funding to buy these things, to keep our people safe. You know, we love to see people out and about in Muskegon, and we're gonna keep them a little bit more safe.
Wow, that's good.
The other one I'm really excited about is City of Muskegon Heights Broadway streetscape improvements. Everybody knows all of the streetscape improvements right there on Main Street that we're hoping to improve. I feel like Muskegon Heights is just a city on the rise.
Yes.
I love the resilience of the constituents there. Every time I go, you know, no matter the hard times that anybody's facing, I'm greeted with a smile. You know, people have a warm welcome. And we just want to see Muskegon Heights be the best version of itself that it can be. So we earmarked $500,000 for their Broadway streetscape improvement project. That was approved, passed through the final appropriations package that we passed last week. And that's going to be a ground laying foundation to plan and design the larger improvements. And then on top of that, just today, I signed off on a support letter for a RAISE grant through the Department of Transportation that we're hoping to get an additional $7.5 million to complete that project.
Yes.
So we're so excited about it. You know, it's really going to help attract a lot of businesses, and, you know, just again help Muskegon Heights, you know, be the best version of itself it can be.
Wow, but the city needs this type of break. They need a break like this, Congresswoman. And between your office and Governor Whitmer's office, I think they're seeing a difference. For the debt to get relieved, for the school.
Oh, that was,
yep. Major.
Huge, huge, huge. I mean, this is, I feel like, you know, we're turning a new page here. You know, there's new leadership. I know I was so excited when Muskegon Heights was drawn into my, you know, this new district.
Right.
And I won, even before I won, I was like, campaigning to win for Muskegon Heights. Like, I was so excited that this was, you know, a part of my district. And I made it a priority, you know, even before I was sworn in, going and visiting the high school at Muskegon Heights was one of the very first stops that I made. We've got a period that, you know, after you're elected in November, then you don't get sworn in until January. There's this period where it's like, okay, people know you're going to be the representative. Some people take a vacation. I literally could not wait to get to work. So I did only a few visits, but, you know, was busy setting up the office, but Muskegon Heights was one of them. And, you know, I remember hearing about the debt that they needed released and, you know, got right to work with the governor. Of course, Big Gretch was already like, I'm already on it. Don't worry. Like, we got Muskegon Heights. We're going to make this happen. And, you know, we've just been showing up like that in different ways. We just helped launch the first BIPOC roundtable or the first BIPOC Chamber of Commerce, excuse me. And we did that by hosting a roundtable of small business owners. In the Congress, I serve on the House Small Business Committee. And that was a really important one for me to serve on, because in the state of Michigan, 99% of our registered businesses meet the definition of a small business. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's one of the highest rates in the country. You know, we've got some great large corporations that call West Michigan home as well. They're job creators, they're generators, but the vast majority of our businesses here are small businesses.
Mom
they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, they're making wine. They're starting urban farms. You know, they're realtors. They are opening restaurants. It's just incredible. And so, I wanted to serve on that small business committee, really to help level the playing field. You know, no small business, you know, no minority group, whether you're talking about, you know, a racial minority owned business or a woman owned business or a veteran owned small business. No one is looking for a handout. They're just looking for an even playing field.
Exactly.
And that's what my work on the Small Business Committee has been about. You know, small business owners are scrappy, they're hard workers, and they just don't want the deck stacked against them. It's the only thing that they're asking for. And so, you know, we're really working to do that on the Small Business Committee.
Wow. Congressman Skoten, before we go, a couple more questions.
Yeah.
Is there any divisiveness on this the border? I mean, I know I heard that there was something at the table that was ready to be voted on, then all of a sudden Republicans pulled back. Is that true?
Yeah. It is true. And it's really, really frustrating because, you know, we saw the Senate side work tirelessly, including Republican Senator Jim Langford, who, you know, gave up a lot of political capital to come up with a bipartisan national security bill that met all of the, you know, the most complicated needs. You know, if you were to name three of the most controversial, thorny issues right now that we are dealing with, it is, you know, it's the Israel-Hamas war, it's the border crisis, and it's Russia-Ukraine. You know, these are things that are hot button issues, and the Senate carved out an incredible compromise bill. That's what we're here to do as the United States of America, right? To come together. And the Republicans are refusing to bring it up. It includes a massive amount of funding to secure our southern border. I was at the southern border just last month, and I saw firsthand what an absolute crisis we have there. You know, we're talking about thousands of people every single day crossing without the proper, you know, vetting. And then they're held in government facilities. We went to visit one of the detention centers where they're held until they can be fully processed. $1 million a day to run this program. Can you imagine what we could do with $1 million a day in West Michigan?
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it. It makes me livid.
Congressman, I guess I got you quick. They cannot secure that border there? Like, it's just, was it, I mean,
we need,
how are they sneaking in?
We need funds. We need people to do it. We need the technology to do it. There are certain parts of this border where we don't have self-service. Agents are out there trying to keep the United States safe, and there are zones where their cell phones go dark.
Oh my God.
So we've got, you know, I have a bill. It's the only bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform bill in the Congress. And it provides funding for this investment. But, you know, I think I will not let the Democrats off the hook on this one. I just have to tell you guys.
Right.
I was one of the first ones to say, as a Democrat, we do have a crisis at the border. For a long time, you know, the Democrats wanted to say, oh, no, it's fine. You know, the border's secure. That's not the case. The border is not secure.
Exactly.
And, you know, if your house is not in order, you're not doing yourself any favors to lie about it and to not be, you know, honest with yourself about what is happening. And so, you know, I think we've come a long way in getting some of my fellow Democrats to see that this truly is a crisis. But we have a long way to go because, you know, the Democrats on the far, far left, you know, want a certain thing. The Republicans on the far right want something else. But there is, as I, you know, I'm gonna close this out the way that I started. In the middle, there is a majority that wants the same thing.
Right.
They want to govern. And this bill that we have from the Senate, again, Republicans came together on it, Democrats came together on it. It deals with Israel, Hamas. It deals with humanitarian aid in Gaza. It deals with Ukraine, and it deals with the southern border. We have to stop triaging money at the southern border so that we can invest it right back here at home in West Michigan. Wow. And we need the Republican, it's already passed the Senate. We need the Republican leadership to take it up in the House. And today I signed something called a discharge petition. It's basically a mechanism that we have to force the speaker to take up this bill that the Senate passed. But Mike Johnson right now is saying he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to take it up. But we've got to put pressure on him so he does it.
Do you think they don't want to fix this because that's part of their campaign?
You know, I think they see that here in an election year, they can get a lot of political mileage out of it over blaming Democrats. And they want to say, oh, the president can just, you know, do it. If the president can just do it, why didn't Trump do it? You know, he was in office for 4 years, too. If
exactly.
the president can just do it, why was the very first bill, the piece of legislation that they introduced, you know, a bill that they wanted to address the border? I mean, it's, you know, it's not serious. They're not being serious about this.
Wow. So I'm sure you learned a lot in the past year and a half being there. And yeah. I'm so happy to talk to you. You have an open door policy here, letting you know. Whenever you're ready to talk, we're available. I'll make sure we work out the technical issues so you won't have no feedback next time.
Yeah, no problem.
But we enjoyed this conversation. One last thing. The situation in Israel, you know, I've been traveling mm-hmm. abroad a lot. United States is not getting a good reputation on the handling of the stuff in Israel. How do we fix that problem in Gaza? The international news calls it genocide in Gaza. Yeah. American media calls it war in Gaza. How do we fix this thing?
It's horrific. You know, whatever the words that you want to use to describe what is happening there, what we know is this. It is a tragedy, you know, beyond, you know, what we have seen in recent history. I mean, there are 30,000 dead in Gaza. You know, children are starving, and we still have hostages missing.
Right.
We still have Hamas refusing to surrender American citizens, an actual terrorist organization holding American citizens hostage. You know, women who were brutally violated on October 7th, you know, 1,200 people dead, the worst loss of Jewish life since the Holocaust. And, you know, here we are months later, and we don't have a resolution. It's unacceptable. We have to come to an agreement. You know, there has been a ceasefire deal on the table that Hamas has refused to accept. And, you know, we continue to come to the table to say, what about this? What about that? And, you know, Hamas refuses to come to the table and say, you know, okay, that's one that we will accept. And, you know, I think we have to be resolute in saying we're not going to let terrorism thrive. We are going to be humanitarian, and we're going to protect civilian casualties. And most of all, we are going to work for lasting peace right. in the Middle East.
Wow.
And that requires engaged diplomacy. There is no magic word that is going to solve this crisis. It's been going on for hundreds of years, really centuries.
Right.
And the only thing that will, you know, that will solve this is truly engaged diplomacy. And, you know, I deeply believe, you know, setting up the path for a two-state solution.
There you go. I think that's what everybody wants to see. A two-state yep. solution. Yep. Everybody except on the leadership in Israel. Thank you so much. Yes. I appreciate
Thank
you giving us
Thank
time.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Let's keep it going.
Anytime.
Keep it going.
I'm all about accountability, transparency. I'm happy to come on, answer your questions anytime. Thank
right.
you so much.
God bless you. Take care, Congresswoman.
God bless. All Take right. care.
Bye. There you go, Muskegon. Wow. Wow. Rob, I got to get your thoughts, man, on Congresswoman. This was unscripted, so first of all.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
It was a lot. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to soak in, you know. To me, it seems as though she was very honest, you know.
She's not a politician.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know they have to do things certain ways, and they have to state things certain ways to protect themselves, not only themselves, but
constituents
also, yeah. you know. So I it was very informative. You know, I appreciate it. You know, somebody that's actually there, boots on the ground, you know, in these meetings, in these negotiations.
A thousand people a day coming across the border.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people, man.
That's a whole lot of people.
That's.
But I, you know, my thing
I'm accounted
is,
for though.
We sending all this money overseas, and we need that money here. You know, if they're spending $1 million a day, like she said, can you imagine what $1 million a day?
That's 365 million a year.
There go your border problem solved.
There you go. All right, family. Wow. Keep it here. It's Afternoon Jams.